Well, wouldn't that be a nice looking trio right there? Huh? Would not. What do you mean, would not? Sure it would. What's your favorite song? You know a song you should be, y'all could sing? I meant a church song, you know. I'm not talking about one. Hey, here's some good news. If Trump gets to be the president, Miley Cyrus, that trashy, no good looking lowlife, said she's going to leave the country. Goodbye and good riddance is what I said unto her. I hope she takes trailer trash swift with her. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We'll be looking tonight in the book of Ephesians, over there in the book of Ephesians. In chapter number 3, if you find the place, you're able to stand. We'll look in Ephesians in chapter number 3, verse number 21. And all that business there. What time did you say that nice-looking watch from Valentine's Day said?
7:28.
Oh, yeah, I'll be through in plenty of time. All right, let me get this button here turned on. How's that right there? Does that look like that's doing it? In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, verse number 21. Now the Bible says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, and how we thank you for the good singing and the songs of Zion that we've enjoyed together this evening. We ask your blessings now upon each and every one that's here. May you save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. Thank you, Lord, for loving us even while we were unlovable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little bit on unto him be glory in the church. I don't know about you, but every now and again, I just like to stop and back up a little bit and thank God for where he brought me from, where I would have been had it not been for the grace of God. And for now and again, just thank God for how good all these, in the midst of all the turmoil and all the heat of the battle, it's good every now and again just to be thankful unto God for the blessings of God and to bring glory unto God for what he's done for us and for who that he is. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into that passage, you need to remember where it's at. And the reason being is because you're going to have some nut, religious nut. They may be kin to you. If they're not, they'll certainly be kin to me. And they're religious nuts. Well, I don't believe you got to go to church in order to be a Christian. Every lost person I know uses that same excuse. I don't mean that to be ugly. I do mean it. It sounds ugly, and that's really the truth of the matter. Listen, if you're not going to the house of God, you're not in the house of God, and I'm not talking about if you're providentially hindered and people that are sick, and I know that. We've got some people that are sick. I mean, they're sick, not able to come to church, but they were faithful when they could. Now you'll see them in Walmart every now and again, but they're really not able to come to church. I didn't like that. I didn't see all that, you know. Ain't hard to see them, you know, here, there, and yon. See what I'm talking about? In this Bible lesson you're looking at is that I realize and know that there's a God in heaven. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to be had. It's by the grace of God. And make no mistake about it. If you're bringing glory unto God, you're bringing glory unto God in the church of the living God. I know some people, you know, that are religious and they're in church and out of church, more out than they are in. We're not talking about that. We're talking about unto him be glory in the church. And let me tell you something, that's the way that it'll be throughout all the world and throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. It's always been that way since the day that he established the church. Now, you know, the Bible said that Jesus established the church and that he gave himself for the church. He's coming back again for the church. It'll be the bride of Christ, the church of the living God is. Now, Jesus had said over there in the book of Matthew, chapter number 16, upon this rock, talking about himself, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, make no mistake about it, the gates of hell have been trying to prevail against it. And boy, I mean to tell you, we've got such crooked leaderships in the world that we're living in, from the outhouse to the White House, to the outhouse, and back again. We've got a world of religious, lost, undone, without hope, without God. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, is that you find out, is that the Lord, the Bible said in Acts chapter number 2, about verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Next time you're talking to somebody and say, where are you going to church at? Oh, I don't go to church. I see. And no need me asking you about going to heaven, because you ain't going to church, you're not going to heaven. Oh, you ain't got to go to church to go to heaven. No, but if God ever saves you and makes you one of his own, he'll add you to the church. He'll put you in the house of God. Make no mistake about that. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that the church, it's a family. You know what it is? The family of God. And I tell you, whenever I get together right here, I'm at home right here. Every now and again, I'll go out of town. I'll visit somewhere, and I'm a visitor, you know. And they'll say, where are you from? Nacogdoches, where you go to church? In Appleby? And all that business there, that's kind of confusing a little bit to them. And while they're standing there with that dumbfounded, confused look on their face and all that business there, you know, they'll ask you something else about this or that, and first one thing and another. And let me say to you that, if you will, that you ought to be able to answer discreetly, and you ought to be able to answer about a reason that the hope of the Lord is within you, and you ought to do it with fear and trembling and thanksgiving. Unto him be glory in the church. Over there in the book of Genesis in chapter number 28, if I've got it right. Last time somebody had to get them to look it up for me, but I think that's the right play. Is that the Bible said the house of God's a gate to heaven. And I want to tell you, you need to remember this passage and that one over there in the book of Genesis 28. And here's reason being why, is that a religious but lost world that we live in, baptistically speaking. And I'm not talking about other religions that don't have a clue what's going on. I'm talking about people that ought to know right, that ought to be able to talk right, walk right, spit right, and know something about the righteousness of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the resurrected Savior of the world. And no doubt that, let me tell you, that if you get saved, I don't care if you're on this side of the continent, the other side of the continent, whatever language you're speaking, let me tell you, somebody had better carry them the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the only name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. In the lesson that you're looking at, let me tell you, it's good to be a part of the family of God. You know, every now and again, you'll hear me say something like, the devil would rather start trouble in the church than to open up five beer joints in the county. And the reason being, because he can do more damage. I got to say to you, is that over there in the book of Ephesians, whenever God says something, let not the sun go down on your wrath. Remember that? That's not only good for a marriage, dear friend, that's also good for you to be able to practice in the house of God, the church of the living God. Soon as something gets a little out of kilter, a little rust on the blade, get it off as quick as you possibly can. Now listen, the reason why you're probably as in good a shape as you're in, you don't have to deal with me all the time. That ought to tell you how strong my wife is. She has to deal with me all the time. And let me tell you right now is that I like it. Every now and again, she'll let that steam just come right out her eyes and nose and all of that. Of course, I've had to push her a minute or two to get it. I just tell her something like this here. Oh, I like it when you're feisty. Of course, I watch her with both eyes, too. It's good to be saved and to be able to come down and to be a part of the family of God down at the house of God. All the good singing that we've had today and the blessing from on high and all of that. You know, people will come every now and again. They'll visit a little bit. They'll hear two or three or four or five of these singers, and maybe all that crowd of them boys and girls, and they walk out, and they're just amazed, and what a blessing that is. Now, they're not back. They're not coming back, but, boy, what a blessing that it is, and it was, and it really was. And I got to tell you right up front is that you don't find that just everywhere. Why God puts all this crowd together like that is beyond me, but I thank God that he did. God's always given us good, talented singers. It didn't matter where it was at. People that could sing and people that, and I'd watch some of them guys, you know, back whenever we were over there in Louisiana. And I'm going to tell you, there's a quartet, men quartet, they could get up, and anytime they did, whenever they got to singing, buddy, heaven would come down and glory would fill that place. And that was just one of many groups that we had over there. But I got to tell you something, it wasn't long down the road they got to getting their eyes on more money than anything else. They got to wanting to go run them turnarounds and be gone two or three months at a time. And let me tell you, they got out there and got what they wanted, but lost what they had with God. And they got to where, friend, then their lives were in shambles and messed up, and they were dead as a hammer and so forth and so on. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you something. I'm glad God's given you and I something money cannot buy. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out the church is the family of God. Not only that, the church has been commissioned. Now, you know, here we are as a body of Christ that are here tonight, and we've got a commission upon us. And the Bible said to go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And let me tell you right up front, dear friend, is that the church is responsible to carry the gospel message to a lost and to a dying world. And let me say to you, is that we read that the other night over in the book of Romans, how beautiful the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, so forth and on, and how shall they preach except they be sent, and so forth and on. I got to tell you, is that the church has a commission to preach to the world. Did you get that? We're involved in a worldwide ministry. It's not a matter of, Lord, bless me and my wife, and so-and-so and their wife, us four no more. No, no, we're commissioned to go into the world and help. And listen, you ought to either be going or helping somebody to go, one or the other. That's the truth of the matter. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, is that whenever God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16, everybody knows it well. And let me say to you, the Lord Jesus Christ there is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father except by him. That's the reason why there in the book of Acts in chapter 4, verse number 12, whenever he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than the name that's above every name, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in the day we live in, folks will say, well, you know, where we live in this far and remote part of the country, I got to tell you, I don't care where you live. You can live in Timbuktu, wherever that is. The name that's above every name is the Lord Jesus Christ. You go to Africa, I don't know how you say it in African. I don't know how you pronounce it in Zulu, Zagumba, or whatever it is. But it'll better come out and be saying the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't make any difference where you're from. I mean, I know how to say Christ in Spanish a little bit, but I'll not guess at it in case I messed it up. Or I'm just trying to say, I don't care if you're living in Nacogdoches, Texas, or the other side of the world, or any place in between, the only name under heaven whereby you can be saved is the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I got to say that when you begin to look into this, the Bible said over there in the book of 1 Timothy, in chapter number 3, and about verse number 15, he said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. When was that? When he was born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger and laid in a manger there. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of the angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory as the resurrected Christ, right there in that passage. I got to say to you that, if you will, that it's good to be a part of the work of God in the family of God down here at the house of God. Now, let me say to you that preaching the word of the Lord will do three or four things, and we'll not be long with that. I've already got a man on with a Valentine's Day's watch gift and keeping me here abreast, you know, whenever it comes time. But I got to tell you right up front is that in 1 Corinthians in chapter number 1, it's an old familiar passage that we use often. You know it as well as I know it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 18, you need to rehearse it every now and again. You're going to find somebody and you're going to invite them to church. That's what you ought to be doing. And that's what I ought to be doing. That's what we ought to be doing. Not everybody's going to show up. And if they do, they're going to get scared not to come back. Unless God does something real and lasting in their heart for all eternity. But here's an idea that whenever 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, he said, the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness. That's why they'll ask you, well, have y'all got one of them old loud preachers? See, it's foolishness to them without God. He said, but unto us which are saved, unless you've got one of them would-be wannabe Bibles, and it'll say that are being saved. I'm not being saved. I'm already saved. He said, unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. That's what preaching is. In fact is that whenever you look there in about verse 21, he said, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Next time somebody said, well, I don't care nothing about no church and about no preacher and nobody there. You don't care nothing about going to heaven? And you need to keep that passage there where you can at least quote it. Well, you ain't got to go, well, hold it a minute before you say too many things that I'm going to have to correct. The Bible said that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And if you don't want to hear preaching, you've refused what God's chosen to save your soul. Let me say to you that what it does is preaching the word of the Lord births people into the family of God. There are going to be some labor pains involved. Every one of you that are here, some of you, most of all these boys and girls, I was there somewhere close by when you got born physically into the world. I can remember, you know, that there's been a time or two that in this women lives world, you know, they don't want to think nothing about the Old Testament. But I tell you what you do is you hang in by the labor room when it comes time for them to deliver of a child, and you watch Genesis take place, buddy, right there, and there ain't nothing nobody can do about it. See? And they're going to bring forth children and bear a child in agony. They're going to have some pains involved on that. Now, I realize some of you didn't have as much as others. I know some of you know you go on and on and on, and we're thinking, oh, my word, she's never going to have this thing. Well, let's hurry it up. I mean, before the rut gets here, the spawn kicks in or something, let's get this thing going. And that's the way that it is. Some of you walk by, it's done. But you had a few pains before that happened. I said all that to be able to tell you that right up front is that you'll find out that this is a birthing place, that you and I preach the gospel, and we're able to witness others, finally bring forth into the family of God, being bought, washed by the blood, born in God's family. Let me tell you something right now. There has never been anything but a perfect birth that's handled by the Lord. And let me tell you something else, is that you're going to find out is that God, every time God brings one and births one into the family of God, they're born hungry. And they're hungry for the sincere milk of the word of the Lord. Since the day you got saved, you've been hungry about the things of God. And let me tell you right up front, it's good to be a part of the family of God and feeding on the things of God. Over there in the book of Jude, in about verse number 20, and about verse number 21, there's a passage over there in the book of Jude, in right there before Revelation, and he says, verse 20 and 21, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I want to say that when you look into that, is that God has not only brought us in to the family, birthed us into the family, but he builds us up on our most holy faith. And I want to tell you something, you're not a little babe any longer that have been saved any length of time. If you've been feeding on the word of the Lord, you're certainly growing in the grace and love and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, let me tell you, chapter number 11, there's a passage over there that we ought to look at quickly. And as we look into that passage in the book of Acts in chapter number 11 and verse 22, here's what he says in the lesson that we're looking at here. Acts 11, about verse number 22. He said, and then the tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, whenever he came, that he had seen the grace of God, that he was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart, that they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost out of faith, and much people was added to the Lord. Now God help you and I to be as such as to where that others can see our lip and be able to watch our life and to be influenced by the cause of Christ. Now a couple of three things as we get ready to close. Look, if you will, please, over in the book of Acts in chapter number 8 and about verse number 23. I want to say that whenever you and I look into the Word of the Lord, it not only births us in, builds us up, but it bonds us one with another and in fellowship with God. Over there in the book of Acts in chapter number 8, I'll tell you in a moment, but there's a passage over there that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 3, and just listen to what it says there, if you will, please, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Well, I'm going to tell you, the Word of the Lord not only births you in, builds you up, but it bonds you together. Yes. And notice, if you will, please, in the book of Acts, in chapter number 8, and about verse number 23. He said, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity." Oh, I'm going to tell you something. Is that sin will grab hold of you while you're turning to Colossians 3 as we close from there. But I want to tell you something right now is I'm glad to know that we don't have to be in chains to the bond of iniquity, but you and I have been set free from the bondage of sin, and as a result of that, we're born into the family of God. Now, in Colossians chapter 3, look in verse 12, we'll begin reading there, Colossians 3. In the passages that we've read, you'll find out is that there's the preaching of the Word for the birth. There's the studying and preaching of the Word for building. There's the preaching and studying the Word of the Lord for the bonding together and having the good mind of the Lord. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. The Bible said there in the passage, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all of these things, put on charity, which is, look, the bond of perfectness." You want to reach perfection? Well, put on the bond of perfection by having on charity. In verse 15, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." I got to say to you that when you begin to look into these passages that we've looked at, these are things that bring glory unto Him in the church of the living God. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. We pray for these that are here tonight, maybe a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that needs to know Christ. May they come to know you in the free pardon of sin before it's too late. There may be somebody that says, "I know the Lord, but I've not followed the Lord in baptism." Trouble them until they find themselves in obedience with thee. Yes. Now bless every home here tonight. Be with those that could not be. We'll thank you in Jesus' name.